First one is, what is the psychology behind stress? How does stress work in the brain, would you say?
Well, it triggers cortisol. It's the stress hormone.
Oh, okay.
You know, and when you're under too much stress, too much cortisol is released, and your body can't process it. So it triggers, you know, it's like a domino effect, if you will. Body just, fight or flight, adrenaline, cortisol, it just builds up. And then if your body can't process it all.
Is that how anxiety attacks happen?
It's part of it.
Okay.
Not all of it. And I honestly, I don't know all the science or the medical stuff behind it. Probably should pay more attention to it, being that I
teach psychology.
No, actually not that so much, is that I have anxiety. Now that's an AP psych teacher's kind of thing. And sorry, I've got econ on the brain right now. And if I'm being totally honest, I forgot you were coming today.
I should have reminded you. I kind of forgot.
My four concussions. I don't always remember everything.
Four concussions?
Yeah.
Oh.
I have bad memory. It's okay, though. We'll get through it.
Yes.
So, the psychology of stress is that the more we study it and learn a little bit more about it, for me, personally, it's my triggers. I know what they are, so I avoid them.
That makes sense.
So I know what causes my anxiety or releases the too much cortisol. So once I figure out what, like, day-to-day stress is normal. Like, you want some stress, pressure, because that's kind of what motivates you too.
Right.
Like, when you know a test is coming up, doesn't it motivate you to study?
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to do well, or a big game is coming up tomorrow. Are you nervous?
Not yet.
You will be tomorrow. The butterflies.
Yes.
Okay, that's the good kind of stress. But when you have the wrong kind of stress, you know, the stuff you can't control or there's no outcome for, you know, like for a lot of kids, it's things like family conflict, you know, or like parents who are abusive or something, you know, or kids who live in homes that are violent.
Right.
Okay. There's no control. There's no outlet. There's no release from it. That cortisol just keeps building up.
I've never thought of it as like a thing that gets triggered. I've always seen it as something that's like you said, built up.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it always triggered by something, or can it often be like a built up thing?
Panic attacks can come out of nowhere. But what I've seen is usually, you don't see a 12-year-old have a panic attack usually. Usually there are things that have built their anxiety over the years. You don't see a normal, well-adjusted, healthy, emotionally healthy individual have a panic attack.
Right.
There's usually some kind of trauma that's gone on, or PTSD kind of stuff, or, you know what I mean? If you look back in their childhood, they've probably suffered some kind of... And that's not to say that can't happen, but I've never seen it or read about it.
Okay.
So, take, say, Brandon here. Normal upbringing, parents are both home, he hasn't had any trauma. He's probably not going to have a panic attack right now.
Right.
But I do have some other kids who've been through a lot, and they'll just be sitting in class and they'll have a panic attack. It's because, I believe, subconsciously anyway, I've said something or... They looked on the board and they saw a test and like it triggers
that. That makes sense.
So again, I try to avoid for myself. I don't know what other people do. Other people use outlets like exercise. Because when you exercise, you're releasing the good chemicals, the endorphins that deal with the cortisol.
Is there like a battle of your hormones? How does that even work? I don't really know.
I don't know all the science behind it.
Okay.
That's where your chemistry teacher comes in.
Okay.
And I'm a social scientist.
Right. I mean, that's still just as important.
Oh, no, no. I know. Yeah. I don't know all the science. And I teach gen psych, so I don't get into all the... If you look at these molecules...
Should I ask Anderson these questions, do you think?
Yeah, she might have some of the more in-depth stuff. I deal more with the behavior coping mechanisms for the kids. Yeah,
that was my next question. What are some common ways to relieve stress, and like, what do you find works the best for you or in general?
Avoiding the triggers. Mm-hmm. So like on campus here, you know, some kids seek out drama and I don't understand why, you know. Mm-hmm. When if that's one of your triggers, stay away from certain people. Come in a quiet room and read.
Yeah.
Avoid the things that cause the stress. If it's home life, then obviously maybe you can't avoid that, but maybe you could play a sport. So you're away from home.
A little longer, yeah. Or relationships with teachers or something.
Something.
Yeah.
You know, therapy's good. Staying physical, you know, working out, releasing the endorphins to counterbalance the cortisol stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Eating healthy.
Does that really change it?
Oh, yeah, big time. A lot of kids don't have a good balance in their diet. They're eating a lot of processed foods versus fresh produce or, you know. I know at your house, you guys eat pretty healthy.
Yeah.
You're doing pretty well there. But diet is a huge thing. If all you're eating is cookies and pretzels and chips, you know, it's okay as a snack, but I watch kids walk in here and they're sitting over there.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. So diet, exercise, and then if you seriously can't manage it, you know, there's things like medications, but that's like a last resort, especially at this age. So some people do things like meditation.
Hence the project I'm doing, yes.
My husband, Dan, he does, used to do, he hasn't had the time for it, but he used to do like yoga.
Mm. Yeah.
He found that to be really helpful. There's a level of meditation in yoga. How much he did of it, but just the focus of it.
Right, yeah.
Meditation for me, but prayer absolutely is a form of meditation. Very praying about stuff, focusing in on the good. For me, reading the Bible is good. Focusing on the good stuff in life versus the ugly words coming in.
Right. So there's this.
Hello. I got so many
people. We're doing an interview with a really important person.
Not really. Hey. There's this, like you're saying, like this kind of this epidemic of modern meditation where it's more science based and it's more for dealing with stress and anxiety, mm-hmm. and it's not so much as the, you know, Buddhism. All of that anymore. How helpful do you think that actually is?
I think people have to find what works for them.
Mm.
So if it works for you, go for it. I mean, you've heard of the placebo effect, right?
Yeah.
Okay. People's psychosomatic is a phrase often used to determine power the brain has over the body.
That's going to be the best one.
If all you're going to think about is, oh, I don't feel good, I don't feel good, I don't, you'll talk yourself into being sick. So if you find something that works for you, meditation is something, it's the power of, you know, your brain to really think positively. Don't you ever visualize what you're doing before you get in the pool?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to do this play with this person and kind of think yourself ahead of time.
Yeah, my mom always tells me to do that.
Professional athletes do. There are therapists that walk them through self-actualization type stuff.
Mm.
And some of that is based on meditation. That's why athletes sit in the locker room ahead of time. They sit there for a good half hour, 45 minutes, and they meditate, self-actualization. They watch themselves doing what they want to see them do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So it's not just, I don't know, a pop culture thing. It can actually be important.
Yeah, it can be very helpful to people. You know, muscle memory is important, but also mental memory. You know.
Yeah.
So, I think for some people it's very beneficial. I'm,
not really.
Me? I don't do a lot of meditating.
Yeah. It's hard. It's really hard to do, I found.
In our society, it is.
Yeah.
Because we're so distracted. And you have to be in the right place. You've got two siblings at home and two parents. When are you going to find a quiet spot to do it?
Yeah. It's actually, that's, I think, the least hard part. I think the least hard part, or the hardest part, is quieting my own thoughts, I've found. You know, I sit there and I think,
getting
okay.
Getting the hamster off the wheel?
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's why prayer for me works better than just meditation.
Right. Because it's actually engaging.
Yeah. So, yeah. But there are programs out there. There's things on your cell phone that you can do. That you can download things.
Mm-hmm.
Apps.
I've seen some, yeah.
Yeah. Where it teaches you how to breathe and how to...
Guided meditation. Yeah. Yeah. I was curious, maybe trying to find a guided meditation, like, actual place where I could go just as part of my project to see what that would be like. I feel like that'd be kind of interesting.
And if you want, go to one of the yoga places.
Yeah, yeah, I should go do a yoga
They have,
class.
Like, the, it's called, like, chakra yoga or something. I don't know what it's called. I mean...
Yeah, that sounds...
Dan would know more than me because I don't do yoga. I'm not flexible enough for yoga.
Mm.
I have so many sports injuries that I can't. Dan tried to get me to go once and it didn't go well.
Where did he used to go?
There's a place in Bellaterra above Bed Bath & Beyond.
I think I know what you're talking about.
It's upstairs.
Is it modern meditation or is it like...
I don't know.
Spiritual, because that's I think a harder thing to find, right? Because I'm not doing it for religious reasons,
mm-hmm.
So I don't know. To figure that out, I tried to do some research and I just found a bunch of like 70-year-old ladies' blogs. You know what I mean? So okay, let's see. I already answered that one. Oh, my last question. Am I stupid for thinking that meditation can help me improve focus and lessen my anxiety?
No.
No, right?
But again...
That is the best one.
I know. It's like hypnosis. It doesn't work for everybody.
Mm.
It has to... Your mind has to be open to it. You know, you have to believe that it works.
That makes sense.
Can I take a photo?
You know?
Well, my job off. My job off.
If you look into it and you're like, oh... And you try meditation and you feel better afterwards, you're going to go back and keep doing it. And you're going to buy into it.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you find something that works for me, I like going to Burke Williams Day Spa. I'm getting a massage. That brings my anxiety level down. You know, for some people, they don't like being massaged. They don't like being touched.
Yeah.
So it just is different for everybody. So you have to find what works for you that relieves your stress. I used to go to the gym and beat the crud out of a speed bag. Ice hockey used to bring down my stress level.
That's actually kind of ironic. Seems like a stressful sport.
It was an outlet
for
my anger and my frustrations and things that were going on.
Yeah.
So it also depends on what's causing your stress. If it's just homework or something, that's one thing. But mine was, you know, physical and emotional pain, so it was an outlet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So no, you're not dumb for thinking it. People do it all the time.
Yeah. Because when I first was talking to my friends about, like, wanting to do this, they're like, that's dumb. What did that even do? So, wow.
Nicole Shane, please go to the attendance office.
Again, Dan finds a lot of use out of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a meditation aspect to it.
Right.
But just sitting there on the carpet.
So awkward.
Oh, not for him.
Yeah.
But he likes the yoga part, and so there's an element of meditation that goes with it.
I should try that then.
But for me, it doesn't work. But I have something that works for me.
Right.
So everybody's got to find
that thing.
That thing that helps them. Release
and
the
it's like this one girl
the negative.
She's not
yes. Okay.
I need to be the girl.
Thank you so much.